kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I want to share with you all today something that I've been waiting on for a few weeks. You know, sometimes when you're teaching and it's not always the right time to give something. It's like things are coming down the pipeline and there is that right time in which to share with what the Lord wants you to know. And also the fact that sometimes God has to deal with me first, or I have to go through a certain experience or trial before I can preach the message. There are many ways in which this works. It isn't just opening up the word and, well, what are we going to talk about today? You know, it's as you pray for the word, you pray in the spirit. There are diverse ways in which the unction, the anointing, teaches us. And we have to be open and sensitive to that. But I believe today is right to share this. And the reason I say this, because it's been coming up amongst you. It's been coming up on our forum. And so I believe the Lord was confirming this teaching today. And I've got a title for this, and it's called The Word of God versus AI. The Word of God versus AI. And before I say anything further on this, I want us to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 1. And I want us to listen to this with regard to this title that I believe the Lord gave, The Word of God versus AI. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And I think those verses are absolutely applicable with regard to this title today, The Word of God versus AI. And with that, I want us also to look at Revelation 19 and verse 13. Revelation 19 and verse 13. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Who is that? Jesus. So his name is also known as the Word of God. And we're even told in the Bible that he magnifies his name above his words. So with those few verses that we have read there, that have stood the test of time for thousands of years, they have been criticized, they have been attacked, all sorts of things have been said through man over the centuries, and yet here we are today reading this, as powerful as it is when God revealed it to man. Because nothing changes. Nothing changes with God. Even though everything around us is changing, society is changing, fashions change, yet nothing changes with our God. Why? Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You cannot separate God's Word from the Godhead. You cannot separate any of this. And when we had a few of those things that came up this week on our forum, I just said, Lord, this is confirming what you want me to talk on. We not only saw a video, didn't we, of where AI was preaching a sermon in a church in Germany, and that is just the start of what is going to happen. But I also heard on the news this morning that the first robot conducted a symphony orchestra in Korea. And the comments were, it was very good, but it lacked soul. And I thought, well, that's it, in a nutshell. Because it's not created and made in man's image. It doesn't have a soul. However, we know that they are trying to create a soul with AI. And this is, of course, why they want to connect it to humans. They want to interrelate this technology with humans for the purpose to try and create a soul. But it will never happen. You know why it will not happen? Because man is made in the image of God. And God is not a robot. God is not AI. And so it can never happen. And we know it will never happen because we read the book of Revelation. And it shows clearly that it will never happen. You see, the Word of God can never be destroyed. It can never be counterfeited because in nature, it's a weapon. So it's not only God's Word, but for God to protect His Word, because God knew His Word was going to be attacked, the nature of it is also a weapon. And of course, we know what that weapon is. It is the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6. So the Word of God is also sharper than any two-edged sword, which we know. So it has to be a weapon in order for the Holy Spirit to be able to speak to us. And that is why we pray over the Word. This is why we pray over our meetings. This is why we pray for the Word going out to the four corners of the earth. The Lord said, pray for the harvest, but pray for the laborers. The harvest is plentiful, but pray for the laborers. Why do we pray for the laborers? We're all laborers. I'm a laborer. Because we're custodians of the Word of God. God is opening our eyes to His Word. And He knows that we are attacked as a result of the Word. And so the good news is, He says, this word that you preach, this word that you believe and you confess that our faith comes by, is also in nature a sword. And what does a sword do? A sword divides the word of truth. The sword of the Spirit will come against false heresy, false doctrine. The sword of the Spirit will come against unbelief. That's the nature of the sword. And it must be implemented. And it's implemented by ministers behind pulpits who preach the word of God, who do not compromise on it. We, of course, are now living in an age where it's being compromised. And so the powers of darkness are working in such a way to try and take away the sword of the Spirit. They don't want that wielded. In many ways, our learning of the Word of God is teaching us fencing. It's teaching us how to wield and use and work the Word of God. Did you know that? It's teaching you how to wield, and use this word. And particularly now, with this substitute that is coming, AI. And that's just the tip of the iceberg to what they want to bring out. And we know exactly what it will do. It will pervert the Godhead. It will pervert the gospel, which we're seeing now. They have the audacity to say that God is redundant. He doesn't fit in with today's society and technology. Oh, we've got news for them. We really have. They don't know this word, do they? The nature of this word. And you see, it's not only that, but we can speak the word of God. God has given us life in his word, and we can speak it. He has given us authority to speak on his behalf. That's what this word is. This word, this Bible, is authority for you to speak on his behalf. And he ain't going to stop you. He's going to bless you. He's going to give his angels charge over you. He's going to anoint you. And he's going to make it a weapon, if need be, against this spirit of this age that wants to compromise, that wants to water everything down and change, and so on. Can you not see now why God is delivering us of fear? Because that's what fear will do. But God is making us as bold as lions, and he's going to fill our mouths, and we're going to speak out. I don't know about you, but there's just something that triggers when you see the word of God attacked like it is and changed like it is. There's something that rises up in you, an indignation against how dare the powers of darkness do this. And that is exactly what God wants. God knows how to stir us up as well, you see. But we know the power of the word. We know that there is power in the tongue. There is life and there is death. And we know that this gospel is life for some and it's death for some. Why is this? Because it's the nature of the word, the sword of the Spirit. So we're seeing then a significant sign of the powers of darkness now rising up. In other words, these synthetics in which to deceive, seduce. And I believe that this is going to be the world, the one world religion, the harlot, Babylon, that is going to speak to a deceived world in a religious way through this technology. That's what's happening in all of this. And how is it being done? Well, the smartphones, computers, TV, absolutely instrumental as to how the enemy is working in which to seduce the world. the world and using this technology. Well, of course, we use it, but God has given us some clear warnings over it. He's shown us just exactly how far we go with it. And I thought to myself, you know, in preparation with this, I thought, well, you know, we're using this technology, and yes, I can see the blessing to it. I can also see how it can seduce one, how it can take your time, how, you know, you can get so drawn into all of this. I can see the pitfalls, and I've been drawn into it and so forth. And I thought to myself, why, Lord, can't you use something else? Why are you using this? Why are we dependent on this and so forth? It wasn't a thus saith the Lord, but it was like an impression. And the Lord took me back to the Old Testament. And he took me back to the children of Israel. You know, when they were told to go and root out the enemy, many times they were told to take all the livestock, all the gold, all the silver. They were shown to do it. Other times they were told not to take a thing. God was teaching them obedience. And I said, I understand now, Lord. You're letting us even take some of the enemy's things that he's doing, his technology, his deception. You've said we can take this and we can use it for God's glory. But there's limitations. And that answered that question for me. There's the principle. The children of Israel were to take livestock. They were to take the land. They were to take the slaves and so on. And other times God said, you do not take anything, like he told Saul. And Saul, do you remember, he disobeyed God. He wasn't to take the sheep and everything. And Samuel said, well, what are those sheep bleating in the distance? You see? He disobeyed God. So it comes back down to obedience, to revelation, and what God says of us. And what is he saying to us over this technology? He's saying, I will bless it, I will use it, but I will show you how far you go with it. And I think we're all in agreement on that one, aren't we? You see? So isn't it amazing how God uses everything for his glory? But there's no two ways about it. It is a significant sign of the powers of darkness now coming in and seducing. And we're moving into a world where everything is going to be rewritten. And you say to me, well, that sounds a bit drastic. That does. Everything going to be rewritten? Daniel has something to say on that. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Daniel. Daniel 7 and verse 25. You all know this well, but this is very applicable in the light of what we're talking about here. Daniel 7 and verse 25, and he says, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. And so it goes on. This is all part of Daniel's interpretation. Now, of course, we know much with prophecy. It also speaks forth into the future as well. It can often have a dual purpose to it. It can be speaking to that time, and it can also be speaking out in the future. And this, of course, is why it takes the Holy Spirit, the anointing in which to unfold and open the Word of God further. But notice what the Antichrist, the spirit of this age, does. It will change times and laws. What is happening politically around the world? They're wanting to rewrite everything. They're wanting to change the laws. They're trying to change human beings. They're trying to turn men into women and women into men. Everything is being attacked, changed. Can you see what's happening? And that's a clear sign again to us that we are not far away from the coming of the Lord. And it says he wears out the saints. Do you know, I thought about that one. Do you not at times experience where the powers of darkness are trying to wear us out? Have you experienced that? It can't just be me. It's trying to wear you out. It's like you cannot keep up with it. You can't keep up with prayer. There's no sooner you go into warfare on something, there's something else, and there's something else, and something else. And it's trying to wear you out, isn't it? That's exactly what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to stop us from praying, from interceding. He's trying to stop us from getting before the Lord, you know? And very subtle how it works. And there's going to be a time when the church will be sifted. There's no two ways about it. The church will be sifted. And God is going to allow it. And that's why we see a parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. And that is why the wise listen with their heart and soul and being to the word of God. Whereas the foolish, they say, yeah, I've heard it, but I'll pray about it tomorrow. I'll deal with it tomorrow. And of course, tomorrow never comes. And that is the difference. And God is going to allow the church, the woman that is left, to be sifted. That will be her time of purging. That is why we go through our purgings now. This is why we're going through our deliverance now and change now. Can you not see the difference? The wise virgins, the 5 wise. Notice the word wise. They're applying that wisdom. I'm not going to leave it tomorrow. I'm going to deal with it now. You see, that is the difference. And so we're seeing this Laodicean spirit today, where it's neither hot nor cold. And God sadly is going to allow the Antichrist to sift it, to purge it for a season. But thank God in his mercy and grace, the bride's making herself ready. The wise virgins will be ready when the Lord comes in the clouds for us. Hallelujah. And some believers scoff that one. Some just say, oh, you're wanting to escape. You know, it's an easy way out, a cop out. No, it isn't. It's a promise from the Father's heart. It's a promise to his son who's going to marry a bride. And those who scoff this, I'm sorry to say, they will go through the great tribulation. They will. Because that's all they can see. You see, the powers of darkness are creating confusion in which to deceive. And that is always the tack of the enemy. He wants to confuse. When you've got people who are confused, they're vulnerable and they will believe something. Because we're made in the image of God to believe. That's how we're made. And we're not created for confusion. We're not created in which to keep finding out what is true and what isn't true. That's not how we've been created. And so the enemy tries to get in and hinder on that one. And so this is why they become vulnerable. And then they believe these things. They believe these heresies. And they'll believe this AI. Because people today love technology. It's great. It's cool. Young people, they're always looking to the latest phone. When a new phone comes out, I'll tell you, that's the talk of the world. When a new phone comes out, and they love to parade their new phones. Look at me, I've got the latest technology. Wow. And so it goes on. It's all designed to seduce. And praise God, he's worked a real deliverance in us, not to be deceived by any of this stuff. But the point is, we are now coming into a stage, and this is the crux of this teaching. We are moving into a stage now where we do not know whether a human has spoke this or AI has spoke this. And that is the danger. That is where we have to be on our guard. It doesn't matter whether you now go on Google. It doesn't matter on your phone, whatever. We have to know, did a human say that or was that AI? That is the deception. One minister, I won't give his name, there's elections coming up shortly, and he as good as said AI will decide on this election. Giving it out. And we've been saying this now for some years. He's actually gone public. It will be decided. AI will decide. Now that is the scary part of all of this. And this is why we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God that comes against this. And God will. And God will. And it'll come to a point where people will say, how do you know this? How do you know that what you are saying is true, is right? Because we are receiving it through the Holy Spirit. We're not far from this thinking, this mindset now. Because that is how confused people are becoming. We don't know in the political circles, religious circles, or whatever it is. We're going to have to leave it with God. This is why he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he'll do what? Direct your path. God gave me that years back. And I'm seeing now the value of that. Don't lean unto my own understanding, Kim, I say. I need the understanding and the mind of the Lord in this. Because this is what's happening. And this is where I read from you from Daniel. They are changing the laws, the times, the seasons. Do you know they want to do away with Christmas, Easter? That's not a problem to us, but it's to religious people. You have no need of it. You have no need of it. Digital technology is so designed where you will own nothing and you will be happy. It is going to live your life for you. It is going to provide for you. This is why they want to do away with cash. And they want it to become digital. And they're preparing all of this. We hear it. And the next thing that they will start to come after is your homes. and they will be taken off your hands, and you will be looked after and provided for. Some of you know, I've recently put my artwork online. I'm using it really partly as just like a website, because so many keep asking me. I'm now getting a lot of people wanting to buy my work. But it's bought digitally. A bit like cryptocurrency. So they don't actually own the work. They can own the digital image of it, you see. And it's all very subtle. So nobody owns anything. You have just a digital image. And if you can get the copyright of that digital image, then you can sell it on, you see. It's also very subtle how it works. And then the digital money or cryptocurrency, it won't actually be money in your account. It comes through, what did you say it comes through in... The money, it comes like in tokens and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And vouchers.
Yeah, gift
cards. And credit cards. It comes like in the carful. So you don't actually have the money. You have it that way, you see. This is a big thing now that's happening. And I've had no end. I had somebody last night almost begging me for my work. And because I didn't know anything about this, so, you know, I wasn't going to, you know, commit myself at all. But I've had a quick look, and I'm not too happy what I see. And, of course, you have to sign up, and you are given a digital wallet. So you don't have your own wallet in your pocket. It's a digital wallet, you see. This is the future, how it's going. So we own nothing. It's subtle how it works. Now, my Bible tells me that God blesses. He blesses you with houses, lands, brothers, sisters. Yes, persecution as well. He blesses a family. He blesses with children and so forth. Well, they want to take control over all of that. Where you no longer will have control in conceiving, they will deal with all of that, and they will make sure that this child is genetically perfect. They have all the technology. They're working towards all of this, and they're going to call them like baby pods, where these thousands of pods, these babies forming, being kept, nurtured through AI. That's the future they have. All we can say is, come, Lord Jesus, come. It's an absolute abomination. They want to take over everything. I want to leave this teaching today with something in the Psalms. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verses 20 to 16. Psalm 9, verses 20 to 16. Sorry, I mean 16 to 20. Sorry. 16 to 20. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Isn't that profound? I believe that that is the word of the Lord for this season, those verses. And God is going to answer that. That is a prayer. Without doubt, it reveals their end in what they're doing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, the Lord is good, is he not? And he knows how to speak to us. He knows the right time. And thank you all, brothers and sisters, for the way you confirmed this and brought this together so that, we hear what the Spirit is saying. Praise his name. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this meeting. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, we are seeing these things happening before our eyes, but you are always one step ahead. And the great news is that you have overcome the world. And that is our faith and our confession. And Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And to substitute your word through artificial means, Father, is a downward slope, is devastation. But Lord, we thank you that you have a people, a remnant around the world who love you and who follow you, as we do. And so thank you for this meeting. Bless, preserve, keep each one of us till we assemble again. For this we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You are faithful. You are faithful. For you do what you have promised in your word. You are faithful. You are faithful. For you do what you have promised in your word. I now call on you, Father, in Jesus' name, for you do what you have promised in your word. I now call on you, Father, in Jesus' name, for you do what you have promised in your word. You're my Father, you're my Father, for you do what you have promised in your word. You're my Father, you're my Father, for you do what you have promised in your word. Oh, thank you, Lord. You do promise, Father. Amen, amen.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
Jesus.